ways I could have gone tonight. Interestingly enough, that song solidified. Love the way that works out. Before we get started, I want to get you guys to participate for a second. I'm going through a trial right now. It's okay. You guys can hear me all right, right? I'm not trying to call anybody out. I'm not trying to glorify anything negative that's going on in your life. But seriously, who's in here is going through something? Most of us. How many of you sinned today? Yeah, okay. Well, there's more truth. All right. Reason why I wasn't sure which way to go was because, like I said, I had two or three different ways I could have gone. Over the past couple weeks, between Brother Mike and Sunday school and then some of the things that Pastor's been preaching, it's been focused on putting God first in your life. And it's been ways that you can benefit from that.
Amen.
I want to go with why. We should all know why, right? We're all sitting here in church, and we all are just church-going people, right? So we should know why. But it's always good to have that friendly reminder. And this thing broke my heart a few days ago. So if we can, let's go to Romans 12. Familiar passage, but I want to go at it at a different angle. So I'm flipping through this book. I'm having all kinds of missionary papers coming out of here. Okay. So verses 1 and 2 say, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be up here this evening, Lord. It's humbling. Lord, we hear about all these stories with VBS, and Lord, I'm thankful that that was a success for us this year,
Amen.
Lord. Those kids are important, Lord. They're the future of this church. And Lord, if nobody else were to step in the way that our church has, the way that the bus ministry picks them up, Lord, and Lord, it's hard to tell what the future would hold. I know you know, but we don't know.
Amen.
That's why we give it to you, Lord.
Amen.
And so when it comes to this message, Lord, you just take me out of the way.
Hold
take,
on.
Get me out of here. Get the pride out of here. Get my nerves out of here, Lord. Use me as a vessel.
Amen.
To speak to your church, Lord. I thank you for everything that you've done and that you're going to do, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I was reading through Romans, and like I said, it's a familiar passage, but when you really think about it and you go down to the, I call them the big words, you know, we should know them, but some of us are brighter than others. But so I go into the old 1828. Verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In 1828, acceptable is received with pleasure or agreeable or pleasing or in person. Reasonable is tolerable, mediocre, and moderate. It's not excessive. To put it in layman's terms, it sounds like it's the least you could do. The least you could do is present your body a living sacrifice. That's holy, acceptable to God. You know, it says be not conformed to this world. And how easy is it for us all to do that?
Amen.
We do it every day, and half of us don't even realize we're doing it.
Amen.
You go to work, and you give somebody an opportunity to say something stupid. You know, and you don't speak up. You can still hear me, all right, right? Is this thing on? Should I stay here?
I didn't turn it on.
I get moving around. I didn't turn it on.
Is the light on?
No.
Push the button.
I'm holding it. Aha, there we are. Yeah, like I said, some of us are brighter than others. Thanks, Derek. Old brother-in-law, you always depend on him, can't we?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So to be conformed to this world, we let people get away with different things, different little dumb things they might say or do or whatever the case. And it's sometimes we even fall into it and it's like, whoops, I really just say that. or let's say you're at work, somebody says something about someone else. Well, my world, that's gossip. But we fall into it, because sometimes we get in our feelings about it too. You know what, that guy did strike a nerve today. Maybe he deserves somebody to say something like that. No, he didn't. No, we're allowing this stuff to happen, and that's not right. That's not pleasing to God. Amen. It's not holy. Would Jesus do that? I think if he had a problem with somebody, he'd go right to their face. And I think he did that throughout the Bible, did he not? Amen. So there's that. So we should do at least what he's saying here. The question is, why should we do it? They just sang Big Enough. The first one is, how big is God to you? In my eyes, he created everything. Go to Genesis 1. We are going to flip around a little bit. For those that don't know, Genesis is the first book. Chapter 1 is the first chapter. Do love that sound. Sorry. Anyway. So how big is God? In the beginning, God.
Amen.
Let's stop there for a while. In the beginning, God, he created everything. Time, space, heaven, earth, plants, air, other gases we need for Lord knows what else that we need in this world. And he created us. He created heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God said, let there be light, and there was light. He created light. Not us, not any man, not anything else, not any other God that everybody thinks that might be out there. Our God created light.
Amen.
Our God created the earth. He created the solar system. He created the moon. Here's something to think about. You want to talk about perfection. Do you realize if we were any closer to the sun, we'd all burn up?
Yep.
You realize if we were any further away, we'd all freeze to death?
Right.
Or how about the fact that as time goes on, I know we have all these theorists that are talking about, the atmosphere is just falling apart. Okay, but that atmosphere protects us. The Lord knew that. He created it. And when it's our time, I don't know how he's going to go about it, but maybe that's what will do it. I don't know. That's not for us to know, nor does it matter. But he created all that in perfection.
Amen.
And if it wasn't perfect, life wouldn't be sustainable here. So how big is our God? He's perfect. Think about the human body as an organism. It's a perfect machine. It's a perfect machine. Now, granted, some of us have our different issues. Some of us have different things going on physically that cause the different problems. God created those too, though. He did. And that takes me to my next point. Besides how big our God is, we can step into why he lets things happen. You know, as a church, we've gone through a lot, haven't we? We've battled. We've lost people. We've endured each other's hardships. We've been sick together. We've cried together. We've hurt together. And we're still here. You know, we go through this stuff not because God's mad at us. And it's not because he's trying to punish us in any way. Everything's meant to be a learning experience. It's all meant to be a learning experience. And some are harder than others. You know, I mean, I'm not going to go into myself too much, but I mean, between Joan and Luke and his disorder and the different things that are going on with all of us, I don't know where I'd be if God didn't show up for me.
Amen.
I know I wouldn't be here. I might be in a gutter somewhere, you know. And I know everybody in here is battling something, whether you raised your hand or not. There's something going on, whether it's small, whether it's big, whether it's an emotional thing, whether it's a physical thing. We're all going through something.
Amen.
We're all doing something.
Amen.
It's because he's molding his soldiers. You know, I'll never begin to explain the pain of cancer. I'll never be able to explain the heartache when we lose friends and family. You know, we'll never be able to put into words why necessarily until he does it for us.
Amen.
You know, George was hard. You know, and before George, that was the first experience that I had with this church where I felt the pain with everyone. You know, Brother John, I love him with all my heart. Still do. And it's weird not having him pick on me, because every time I talk to him, there's always something. You know how it goes. But I don't understand it. We don't have to understand it. But one thing I do understand is that he deals with us all differently based on our situation.
Amen.
You know, he's not going to deal with, you know, Brother Ryan the same way he might deal with me about something. He's not going to deal with Brother Michael Shane as the same way he's going to deal with Brother Eric. Why? Because he made us all completely different.
Amen.
Doesn't make us bad. It makes us perfect. You see where I'm going? There are different things. We're all different. We're all meant to be different. Perfect in his image. Perfect. You know, and it's not just the fact that he's perfect and everything that he created is perfect, but that it's meant to last forever. You know, we're here on earth but a certain time. But if he created us to be perfect, he's created us to stay with him forever. You know, which... It goes further than that. I mean, you have, if you go into Galatians, and you don't have to turn there, but it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, truth, meekness, long-suffering, greatness, goodness, faith, love. You know, in Matthew 22, it talks about how you should love God and love your neighbors. You know, that should be the primary focus for us on how we should be. Because if we don't have that, then in no way are we holy. No way are we even striving to be holy. You know, that's not just it. You should start there. That's a guideline for where to start. You read through this book, which was also created by God and is also perfect. Let's throw that in there. You read through this over and over and over again. It's no surprise that every time you go through it, you learn something new. In every book, there's another story. And in every story, there's another something to learn. It never fails. That's perfection.
Amen.
That's perfection. You know, and that's one of the hardest battles that we have with those that are lost that maybe might not read all the time. Or somebody says, you know, I go to church every Sunday morning, but you go to a church that doesn't read the Bible. Well, what makes you different than me? That. That. You know, the hardest thing that we face, at least that I've seen, when it comes to talking to the lost, is that they understand maybe concepts of what's going on in this book. You know, they might know the story of David and Goliath. They might know the story of Jonah and the whale. You know, they might know of Isaac. You know, but do they really, really get it? I don't think they do. Do you know why? Because they're not reading what's perfect. They're not letting God talk to them. They're letting somebody up here, probably in sneakers, jeans, t-shirt, whatever, tell them how they should be and how they should love everybody and smile at you all the time, make you feel real good. You know? I was hesitant on giving this message because it tends to be a little dark at the end. I'm not going to lie to you. And I was so worried because I'm like, you know, it seems like everything I'm doing, like, you know, the past couple times I've been up here, like, there's been, like, a dark edge to it. I can sense that. But you know what? That's what got my attention.
Amen.
I remember in 2006, it was Mark McGahee preaching, and it was right there. If it wasn't for that big old finger, which looked like it was pointing at me from up here, I'm convinced right where Ron's sitting, it reached out. It was like right to my face. You know, I don't know how he did it, but go gadget, I guess. Anyway, right here was where I got saved in August 2006. This coming revival
is going to be an anniversary for me for 13 years.
Amen.
But you know what got my attention? It wasn't just trying to understand the love. It wasn't just trying to understand the grace and mercy, which there is nothing wrong with understanding the grace and mercy of God. But he had to break my heart.
Amen.
You know, a lot of the lessons that we learn now, we learn with a broken heart.
Right.
You know, why? Because it's with a broken heart that you finally start reaching. Lord, I need something.
Yeah.
Give me something.
Right.
Everything's falling apart. You know, money's gone. You know, family is sick. We're losing family. You know, this side of the family is battling. We have friends and family don't talk to us anymore. It's easy for the devil to get in there.
Yeah.
It's easy.
Yeah.
But that's where you learn.
Amen. That's right,
bro. You know, all the burned bridges. I look back now on some of the people that stopped talking to me after I started coming to church. That's scary. I have a cousin right now. I knew for a fact that we were going to spend our lifetime as best friends. We're 6 months apart. He won't even answer the phone now. Why? Because I told him that God loves him. That's it. I didn't even get into it yet. I just said, God loves him. Well, I don't want to hear that. Well, your mom loves you. You want to hear that? That's just your mom. This is the creator of the world here.
Amen.
This is the man that created everything, yourself included. Your mom and dad didn't create you. That was God. You know, in the same way that God created Luke, yeah, he has his disability, but you know what? God made him perfect because that's how he wanted him made. You know, one of the last things that I wanted to get into, and I'm going to have to sit on this one for a minute. Go to John 19. I'm trying not to breathe all into this thing. Sorry, guys. So as if him being perfect and creating everything perfectly for us, ourselves included, and besides the fact that that majesty is supposed to endure forever, he gave up his life so that we could live for him. You know, he paid it all. You look at John 19 and it starts right off. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. Before I go any further, I'll stop there. Put into context, the 1828 says scourge means to whip, lash of a strap or cord. It's punishment, torture. That which greatly afflicts, harasses, humiliates, and destroys. Sounds like a lot of what's going on in the world today. But you realize that because you accepted him in here, that you don't have to face that?
Amen.
We're talk about the least you could do is sacrifice yourself for him, to surrender to him. He deserves more than that. The least you could do is sacrifice.
Amen.
We go further in, verse 8. When Pilate therefore heard the saying, he was the more afraid, and went again to the judgment hall and said unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then when Pilate said unto him, speakest thou not to me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. He did it voluntarily. No man could have done it to him.
Right.
He did that for you. You know, he went through, and you might have, you know, these little videos that depict it or whatever the case, but have you ever personalized it, truly personalized, mm-hmm. what Jesus did for you? Do you realize that the torture, the beating, the blood that he shed, carrying the cross, the nails, all of it, that pain. You realize we caused that? That was us. Every whip was our sin. Every nail through the hand and wrists, or through the hand and feet, that's our sin. Every time he was whipped, beaten, punched, the thorns, it's our sin. You realize we did that? We hurt him. Yeah. You realize that every day when you sin, he already paid that. But do you realize that still to this day, if you personalize it, every time you sin, you remember that. You need to remember that. You know what? I'll just have a drink. You just hit him. Amen, I'm just going to, you know, I can tell this joke. No, you can't. You know, oh, it's fine. Like, I can listen to this. I can let them get away with that. No, you can't. Amen. No, you can't. Because we're meant to be a sacrifice for him. Our reasonable service. You know, Romans 12 doesn't tell us necessarily that we're supposed to defend him. But doesn't he deserve it? Amen. Because he didn't deserve what he did for us. He didn't deserve the blood, the torture, the beating. He didn't deserve any of that, but he did it voluntarily. What are we willing to do voluntarily for him? What are we willing to sacrifice voluntarily for him? You know, I threw some numbers together, and some people like this, some don't. For me, this makes it real personal. We all know the Bible tells us that sin is punishable by death, right? One sin, regardless of what it is, if you commit one, you're guilty of them all. That's punishable by death. There are 7.53 billion people in the world, all right? Keep that in the back of your head. Typical service here on a Sunday morning, give or take 300 people, that's a good Sunday, right? Roughly. If each one of those people sinned 10 times in a day, and that's probably lowballing, you're probably thinking that's you know, it's probably more than that. But let's just say 10 for the sake of a nice round number. 300 of us 10 times a day, that's 3,000 sins on a Sunday coming from this church. There's 365 days in a year. That's 1,095,000 sins a year that come from this church. Now think about the whipping and the beating that he took. Just take that for a second. Let's go personal. One person sins 10 times a day, 3,650 sins a year. I turned 34 in December. And at the age of 34, if we go by that nice little 10 number, which is, again, low, that's 124,100 sins by the time I turn 34. Think about how old you are. He took that for you. There are 7.5 billion people in the world. That number is, good luck. That's not a calculator. I tried. I don't even know what the number would be. I don't care. Think about that. 7.5 billion people at the rate of 3,650 a year. And he took all that. You want to talk about the weight of sin? He carried, after being tortured, beaten, and bloodied, he took the weight of that sin and drug it to Calvary. And he did it voluntarily. So if you want to think about what you can do, what you should do, and why, you can start with the fact that God is perfect. Amen. Let's start at the beginning. He created everything perfectly for us because he loves us and wanted us to prosper. And it took us how long to destroy it? It's meant to last forever if it's perfect. we're meant to be with him forever because he made us perfect in his eyes, regardless of what our affliction is. Third thing, he took the pain. He took your weight. When you come down here to the altar, if you haven't done it yet, I strongly encourage it.
Amen.
When you come down here for the first time, let's say, you know, on your first trip to the altar, you get saved. That's weight that comes off. But you know what happens is over time, we still sin because it's part of our nature. And every now and then, you got to come back and clean yourself up. And what happens every time? The weight. The weight of sin is real. You know, we're meant to be a sacrifice for him. We're supposed to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We're meant to love him. We're meant to listen to him. We're meant to glorify him and praise him, regardless of the reaction. Could you imagine if Jesus, as he was going through everything that he was going through, you know, all those guys that were mocking him and spitting at him and all that kind of stuff, he's like, yeah, that's cool. No. You know, a lot of us go to work every day and we're surrounded by people who just don't get it and don't care to get it. Does that mean we need to stop caring? Do we need to stop reading? Do we need to stop listening? Paying attention? No. God will work on him or her, and it might be through you. So how about you watch what you're doing in front of these people? You know, it's easy. It's easy, easy, easy. I said it before. It's easy to fall back. We've all done it. We probably all do it daily. And there's nobody in this building that's an exception to that rule. The thought of, a quick thought of anger, you know, or this guy's going to get what's coming to him. Man, I'm guilty of that one. I'll tell you that right now. I have an angry streak. I'm sorry. And I'm praying on it. But I've had that quick thought, and I've had to stop and apologize. Lord, I'm sorry. I know that's not right. You apologize to the Father? You apologize openly? How about apologizing in front of those people that are hurting you? That same guy that just ran you down because you stand for the Lord. You know, and you had that nasty thought. You know, I've had to go up and apologize to somebody for saying something back. Have you? You probably should have. If you're a true witness, you've done it before. You're going back and you know, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. What's wrong with that? You know, we have to apologize because we're not perfect. You know, there was only one perfect being ever on this earth. And he took every sin you had to the cross with him. He carried the weight, was beaten, scourged, carried the cross, and he gave up the ghost for you. When I look at it, the least we could do is be the sacrifice. But he deserves more. What's that more that we can do here? We have VBS, and that's amazing. We bring kids in that otherwise will probably never know Jesus Christ. We have seven pillars. And people who, again, will probably never know Jesus Christ. You know why these things are prospering? Because he deserves it and his hand's in it. You know, we can sit here, the bus ministry. We can keep doing this. Bus ministry is prospering. Why? Because we're giving kids that would otherwise wouldn't know it the truth. So the least we can do is be a sacrifice to him. But what else can we do? Because he deserves it. We're getting into the what we call revival season. Josh mentioned it a second ago. You know, we're starting to switch gears a little bit and trying to get in revival mode. We have, 3 weeks roughly before we have revival? Let's bring them in. Let's step out of that comfort zone a little bit. Myself included, I'm guilty of it. Let's step out of our comfort zone. Let's invite those friends that all but spit in our faces when we mention Jesus Christ. Let's go out to the public. And let's say, hey, we're having this thing, man, that, you know, it changed my life. You know, we're having preachers that are coming in, and I don't know if you think it might not be your thing or not. I know, you know, when I first came, it wasn't my thing, but you know what? It changed me. Be that person. These people aren't going to hit you with a cat of nine tails. They're not going to whip you. They're not going to bloody you up. Well, they might, but it's the least you could do. Why not? Over the next 3 weeks, I encourage you to step out of your comfort zone a little bit. Amen. We all get real comfortable in that comfort zone. All of us. No exceptions in this building. Let's step out a little bit. Let's do something that we haven't done before. Amen. Reasonable sacrifice is nice, but he deserves more.
Amen.
Think about what you can do for him. Lord, I thank you for this message, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to come in here, to be able to preach, to be able to give, hopefully, a charge here. Lord, we got revival coming up, Lord, and I know that that event has changed many lives, Lord. I know it got a hold of me. I'm so thankful for VBS, Lord, and I can only hope maybe we can get some of those kids to come back for revival. Lord, it's easy for us all to forget how perfect you are. And everything that you made and everything that you've done for us. You know, you created everything. And if we just take it flippantly, Lord, we'll destroy it all. Lord, we need you in our lives, Lord. We want to be perfect for you. We need to be perfect for you, Lord. And you deserve more than even what we do. I know this church as a whole, we try to go out and step out and do more and bring the public in, Lord. But, you know, there's so much more that we can do. And I ask that you encourage us all, that you would motivate us all, that you challenge us all, that you charge us all to just bring you more glory on a daily basis. And Lord, allow us to be just the sacrifice, that living sacrifice that you've asked us to be. Lord, I can speak for myself when I can say I'm sorry, Lord, for all the sins over my time, Lord, that caused you pain. And Lord, I know I'm not perfect, but I want to try. I hope that you give the encouragement to the rest of the church here, Lord, to do the same. And Lord, over this next 3 weeks, we're going to try to push for this revival.
Amen.
We're going to try to bring more people in, Lord, just so we can give you more glory, Lord. We can have revival in this church, but we need you. I just thank you for everything that you've done for us, Lord, in this church. Throughout all the hardships and everything, Lord, you've still been here. You're still showing up. You are here. I just thank you for everything that you've done and that you're going to do. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.